Thank you. I want to thank the worship group for the songs. I'm telling you, God so blessed me. I was kind of shaky, had the little willy-nillies, but I was going to think about coming up. But I thank God for the word Jim gave me, Clyde gave me a word, Margaret shared with me on the phone. I just thank God that I'm not real shaky now. Because I'm looking out and seeing my family. So how are you going to be fearful and nervous in front of your family? And I just want to thank God. I've been coming to Wings about 40 years ago when I first started coming, when my son is 44, about 4 years old. And Brother Eddie's been such a father and influence in our lives. Betty and some of the other ones up in Urbana. This one sister, she's deceased now. She's meant to be on glory. She had heard Brother Eddie on the radio. And I wouldn't even save them. And shared it with some of them, and they started coming down. And then when I got saved, and then we came down. Such a blessing has really helped in our growth and coming to know God. And I want to admonish my two precious sisters over there. We pray together on Fridays. We pray on the phone together. And Betty, I know, has been going through hard places. She's had seizures and had some not clarity of her mind. But I want you all to know that Betty, we used to have prayer meeting at my house every Tuesday, every Friday. And Betty led service, and she has been a spiritual mother to me. I got saved in 1965, and she has really helped me in my growth and my relationship with God. I want to say a word of prayer before we go on. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, and ask that you have your way, Father, that all that you've given me this week, that I just share that which you would have me to bring forth. Give us all ears to hear what you are speaking, Father. Give us obedient hearts, my God, to just go forth and to live in you, my God, and to do what you have for us. I thank you for the opportunity, the humbling, Father, opportunity and privilege of coming before you and for our family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll tell a little bit. I got saved when I was 24. God started dealing with me when I was about 12. I was going to a Baptist church, and I got baptized but did not have understanding. But I know I had read about Jesus when he was in the temple at 12, and I wanted to be like him. So I went up, and they gave me the hand of fellowship, which I had no understanding of salvation. I just knew there was a hunger I had. So then I got baptized the following Sunday. Then I went through my life not serving God, but God's hand upon my life. And he, every night I read a psalm. I was in junior high. I read a psalm every night, except when I got to Psalm 119. That took several nights. You all know that psalm. It took several nights. And I lived in California. God really dealt with me. Me and my ex-husband now lived in California for a couple of years, and God so dealt with me even there. He appeared to me. I was married, he wasn't, so then he was doing his thing, so was I. And God appeared to me, and he said, I was in this room with someone, and in the corner was this, looked like a fog, but it was like a figure. And he said, I didn't feel like fear or not, but he said, I see you. And I have seen everything that you have ever done. And I knew there had to be a change in my life. And after that, things seemed to go downhill, got terrible. I moved back to Ohio, but God was bringing me back, because when I came back is when he dealt with me. And when I got saved, gave my life to him. Baptism, Holy Spirit, just precious how God is and how he's been just showing me even more each day how that he is in control of all things. All things that has touched my life. This week, I thought, I'm supposed to be going out here speaking, and everything looked like it went terrible. I was in Columbus twice, and just things in family, with friends, with just a lot of things happened. But I thank Jim called me and left a message, and I called him, and he gave me a word. And I just thank God for his faithfulness, that we are all members one of another, and that when one of us is down, we support the other. I think when the three of us are together, one's going through, they're like Moses, and we're upholding their hands, and that's the way we should be one another. I thank God for Julie suggesting about having the meal once a month, because we have sat with different ones of you and got to know you. You know, just got to the nitty-gritty of where you come from, what's been going on in your life. And I think it's precious because we all belong to him, and we are all his children. We are part of one another, and I thank God for that. Margaret's asking what was the title, and the title is Being Made as Christ. I look at all the things we go through, and everything that we go through is making us as Christ. As we yield unto God and agree with him in each situation, circumstance, and occurrence, for nothing touches our lives except it goes by God first. Just as Satan had to get permission to try Job, it is the same with us. God was showing me that. He said, we are his. He was showing me this. He said, there's a hedge about us also, and that we are his jewels. We are his special possession, his peculiar treasure, so there's nothing can touch us. And when it comes, no, God is working it out for good, for our good, and for his glory. And I said, Lord, I just thought about this weeks before, and when Oscar asked me about sharing, he said, you know, you feel you have something to share, and I said, oh, well, I don't know when that's going to be. I had to wait. And then when Clyde told me he was sharing, I said, thank you, Jesus, because Clyde was going to share. And then they said, are you sharing next week? Oh, Lord, I said, but and Betty kept encouraging me. Now, you know God's given you a word. God's given me, and he has given me. And I was looking back at my life and looking at things that had happened. And I write, God gives me poetry like he does, Brother Oscar. Well, I work for Drackage, all around here know Drackage Company, and Sue worked with them too. And for 26 years, and Drackage closed, and here I was thinking, I have no job, and my sister had died, and I woke up one morning, and I was looking at all the different things that was going around in my life, and God gave me this poem. It said, I lay up on my bed pondering and wondering what to do, when deep within I truly know that my only need is you. Now I've wasted many a day just doing this and that, running to and fro, escaping the well-known fact that this cry within my bosom for love and satisfaction has been tempted and tried with every earthly distraction. And as I think that all is lost and I can go no further, my Lord, in his gracious love, reveals himself as a searcher. And I can see clearly that all has not been in vain, for in my much searching, he has been my gain. He stirred my restlessness to bring me deeper still. And though I ran away, he drew me to his will. And oh, how I can see the glory, the beauty of his glorious love and grace, his hand tenderly sculpting and positioning my destined place, while perfecting and completing, he's making into one my union with God and others in the image of his Son. And I thank God how he's shaping us and molding us. Truly, we've heard many times how he is a potter and we are the clay, and he's wanting us to be flexible and soft and pliable in his hand, and knowing that no matter what touches our life, don't be discouraged. Just know that he is doing this to bring us more and shaping us into his very image. Jim got books that he shared with everybody called The Practice of the Presence of God. I had one I got at the library for 10 cents. It was brand new several years ago and had read it several times. And in it, I'm going to read 1 Peter, because this is what this Brother Lawrence, This is over 300 years. Brother Lawrence died in 1691 at 80 years old. Very humble. And how he, every day, he said, no matter what you're going through, where you're at, who you're in contact with, if you're just working, that you can still be in God's presence. You can, because he's within us. He's within us. And the scripture is 1 Peter, 1 chapter, 6 and 7. It said, you should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and you may suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire, this proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed in here, in here. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing. Let me read a little portion of this, what he said. He said, take courage, for God often allows us to go through difficulties to purify our souls and to teach us to rely on him more. And then he gave the scripture, 1 Peter. So offer him your problems unceasingly. Ask him for strength to overcome them. Talk to him often and forget him as seldom as possible. Praise him. And when the difficulties are at their worst, go to him humbly and lovingly as a child goes to a loving father and ask for help you need from his grace. Remember, God never leaves us, never leaves us. God knows very well what we need and that all he does is for our good. If we knew how much he loved us, we would always be ready to face life, both its pleasures and its troubles. The difficulties of life do not have to be unbearable. It is the way we look at them through faith or unbelief that makes them seem so. We must be convinced that our Father is full of love for us and that he only, only permits trials to come our way for our own good. So let us occupy ourselves entirely in knowing God. The more we know him, the more we desire to know him. And as love increases with knowledge, the more we know God, the more we truly love him. And we will learn to love him equally in times of distress and in times of great joy. So although we seek and love God because of blessings he has given, or for those that he may give us in the future, let us not stop there. Because these blessings, as great as they are, will never carry us as near to him as a simple act of faith does in a time of need or trouble. So let us look to God with eyes of faith, for he is within us, and we don't need to seek him elsewhere. We have only ourselves to blame if we turn from God, occupying ourselves instead with the trifles of life, and I've done that many a time. So in his patience, the Lord endures our weaknesses. Even so, just think of the price we pay by being separated from his presence. But once and for all, let us begin to be his entirely. His entirely. And may we banish from our hearts and souls all that does not reflect Jesus. Just let us ask him for the grace to do this so that he alone may rule our hearts. And this is our desire, that he alone may rule our hearts. I thank God. There's a little song, Brother Princing. He's first time I met him was at Wings in Elmwood. And he's, I got tape of his, that God is in control. And there's this little song that he sings. I'm not a singer, but I can hear a little bit of a tune. But it's God is in control, and it's God up above us, God all around us, God is with us, God is for us, God is in us, God is upon us, and underneath us are his everlasting arms, for he's God of the mountains. Yes, he is. God of the valleys. God of the darkest night. God of the morning light. God of the stormy sea. Oh, yes, he's God of the victory. God is God of all, and he will care for me. And we certainly must believe this. Everything we're going through, he's shaping us. He's molding us and making us like as unto him. We were coming to Cincinnati one Sunday. I'll show you this little baseball because God gave me an analogy of this. We were coming to Cincinnati one Sunday, and God was showing me how he brought a baseball to me, and I said, well, my son's played baseball and that, but I never thought about it. I remember a long time ago, I had seen something on the makeup of a baseball. And I started sharing with Betty and Sue, and I said, you know, God is showing me a baseball, how it has three parts. I'll share that with you. How it has three parts, and that he was showing me that all the windings and all that is all the things that's touching our lives that we're going through, and all this, the very core of the baseball is like a rubber core like, and he was showing me that's him in the very midst of us, and all of this around, all that winding and that, these are circumstances and problems and situations and people we meet on the job, at home, family, friends, in the store, no matter, all these things touching our life is forming us. It's helping to form us. Then there's the outer layer. So I said, let me do a study. So he put it on my heart. So I went and looked up about baseball. Let me tell you. Said he even gave me numbers, too, that Brother Oscar had given us before, that the Bible is numerically perfect from beginning to end and what the numbers mean. Well, the baseball has three parts. And the inner part is this round, little cushioned core. This rubber composition. And the second part is wool and polycotton windings in its midsection. And the outer part is a cowhide. Used to use horse hide, but as horses became less, they used cowhide. So then the wool selected is because of its natural resiliency and memory that allows it to compress when pressure is applied and then rapidly return to its original shape. So I'm seeing the things we go through that touch us and that compress us and that God is shaping us unto him, you know, like him, and that we're not being destroyed. Sometimes we think we are. I know I have. I said, oh, God, you're going to do it. Yeah, that we're going to be destroyed. So then, and again, in despite of it being hit repeatedly during a game, this blend for the outer winding adds strength and reduce the risk of tears when the cowhide, listen to you, I'll tell you about the cowhide, when it is applied. The cowhide cover is two figure eight patterns. And the number three, I'm going to tell you number three first. Number three is resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection, three parts. Number eight, new birth, new creation, new beginning. So this is, these two are put on there. They have to be hand sewn because they try to do it on a machine, they can't. They have to be hand sewn. There are 88 inches of waxed red thread, see the red thread, which is 108 stitches. It's done in 13 to 14 minutes. So whoever's trained in this is doing some stitching. And the 100 means God's election of grace, children of promise. Then you got the number 8 again, which is new birth, new creation, and new beginning. So then after they do all this to it, and it's supposed to be, it's completed, it's measured and weighed and graded for appearance. And God is doing that. He's measuring us and weighing up, you know, what we do. And he was showing me, you are not the way, you know, you think, I was looking at some things I was doing and looking, and God said, you are not the Ways and Means Committee. I am. I am. My ways and thoughts are so much higher than yours, and here you are with your ways and your means trying to work this and trying to work that out. That is not your job. That is not your position. It is mine. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Let me take my hands off. Let me not do my ways or my means. So anyway, the ball is weighed, measured, and graded. And then they do test. The test is that an air cannon at a velocity of 85 feet a second is shot at a wooden wall. And so I was looking at that. I looked at that. Sometimes we think, honey, that we're going through this. I tell you, I have felt that way. At a wall from a distance of 8 feet. And that ball must rebound and retain this shape after being hit 200 times. I said, Lord, no one doesn't want to show me this. All right, listen to what the layers are. There's 4 layers in this little ball, 4 layers of this cotton in this wool. The first layer is 121 yards gray yarn. Second layer is 45 yards of 3-ply white. Third layer, 53 yards of 3-ply gray. The fourth layer is 150 yards of fine poly cotton. This is a finishing yarn. Then it's dipped in an adhesive solution. Now, when you add up all of those yards, it comes out to 369 yards. And God showed me 3, which is resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. 6 is a double 3, and the 9 is a triple 3. And I said, my God, we are in your hands. I just look and see what he is doing with us and how, yes, when he showed me, we are his jewels. We are his, it was just showing me, we are his special possession. We are his peculiar treasure. He is not doing anything to harm us, but to bring forth his son even greater in our lives. That when we come into contact with people, they don't see us. They see us. As they, Jim, I think, was talking, I don't remember who said about Peter's very shadow. I want to go to places and God, and people feel the very presence of God coming and being blessed. And that, and don't, I know all of you want to be, you know you're wanting him to bless you, to come forth in your very being, and as you go forth, that you're blessing others in your family. And God can give you right on the spot. You can be talking to someone, and God give you, bring forth the word, because it's in here. The word is, bring forth a word of encouragement, a word of deliverance, a word of blessing. A word, I just thank God. Praise God. He was showing me that as we revere and fearfully worship him, that the Son of Righteousness shall rise within our very beings and with healing in his wings and beams. What's the word beams? And beams is shafts of light that radiate in a beam, guiding, just as a radio signal directs and transmits. He was showing me this is what will be rising within us. And he says, and we shall go forth and gamble like calves, released from the stall and leap for joy. I looked up the word gamble, and it means to frolic and to jump and leap. And I want the Spirit of God to be coming forth in me like this, that when I go around somebody, they're going to feel the joy of the Lord. They're going to see him and know that, hey, this person is different. This, and it's because of our just taking time with him, spending time in his presence. When I come here and we start worshiping God, it's like an overflow because we do it together on our way here, we do it at home, and God is wanting us to so spend time with him and in his presence because in his presence is fullness of joy. And this is what's going to emanate from our life. He said, I don't want you to, he said it's that we are vessels. But he also showed me, let me see where I wrote this, that we are also channels. And he said that a channel, I wrote it somewhere, but it transmits, let me see, that I was just seeing a channel, and you can see it can be like wire and cable, like protection over wires, that in, this is a channel for transmission and reception. And he was showing me how that he wants us to be a receptor, that we're receiving from him. And then we're transmitting him around to those that we go around. Then we're also receiving from our brothers and sisters, because you all have Christ. And we should be anxious to draw from you also. He is being glorified when this is happening. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I just thank him for the things of this week. I don't have a whole lot more to share, but I thank him for how he is wanting us so to just love one another and that he be brought forth greater in our lives. He gave me, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read in John, then I'm going to read in Ephesians. But he gave me in John, 1 John 4, 6 to 7, 15 to 17. It says, we are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, this is in the Amplified, to recognize and understand God by observation, just not that, but by experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of him, listens to us. And who is not of God does not listen or pay attention. But by this we know and recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and to recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. It says, anyone who confesses, acknowledges, and owns that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides and lives and makes his home in him. He abides and lives and makes, and then we abide and make our home in God. And we know and understand and recognize and are conscious of by observation and by experience and believe and adhere to and put faith in and rely on the love of God that God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in us. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, we are in this world. I said, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to read this one little poem, then I'm going to give this last scripture, and then I'm going to ask you whatever you want to fill of the Lord. You want to play? You hear? I just thank God for the worship service. I was nervous. I got up here, and boy, God blessed me, blessed me, blessed me. My eyes, I know you all were blessed, too, because I looked out and saw you. Says God gave me this when I spoke at a women's thing, Christ our life and our source. There's a fire that burns within me that I cannot contain. It flows from forth within me like the blessed latter rain. It burns up all the stubble and all the hay. For yes, my Lord is the potter and I am the clay. He's cleansing and purifying and making me whole, a process that's changing my very being and my soul. Don't you so love our Lord and Savior, who died for us upon the cross, ridding us of all sin and paying the full cost. Now he's risen and bringing forth new life within, and we are forgiven and delivered from all sin. Yes, he's joining us together and making us all as one, victorious overcomers in the very image of Jesus, God's Son. I'm going to read this and then I'm closing. This is Ephesians 3, 16 to 20. I'm going to put us instead of you. May he grant us out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened, reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself dwelling in our innermost being and personality. And may Christ, through our faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in our hearts. And may we be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that we may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and to grasp with all saints, that's all saints everywhere, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of it? That we may really come to know practically through experiences for ourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That we may be able to be filled through all our being unto all the fullness of God, that he may have the, we may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires, thoughts, and hopes. I want to pray and thank God. I thank God for each one of you. I thank God for the fellowship of Christ in each of you. I thank God for the opportunity he's given for us to be together and to be as one in him. And I pray that as we go forth this week, that God be glorified in and through each of our lives, that he be lifted up, that it not be us, but it be him that is seen, that he receives the glory. I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone that wants any prayer, praise God. Feel free.
As the word was coming forth, this song just dropped into my spirit. It's called A Lifestyle of Worship, and it's actually a prayer to God that just says, may the life that I live reflect your glory. May the words that I speak honor your name. May the thoughts that I think be pleasing unto you. May my life be a praise unto you, Lord. May the life that I live reflect your glory. May the words that I speak honor your name. May the thoughts that I think be pleasing unto you. May my life be a praise unto you, Lord. May the life that I live reflect your glory. May the words that I speak honor your name. May the thoughts that I think be pleasing unto you. May my life be a praise unto you, Lord. Oh, a lifestyle of worship to reveal your holy purpose, to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For none can compare to living in your perfect will. So may my life be a praise unto you, Lord. Oh, a lifestyle of worship to fulfill your holy purpose, to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For none can compare to living in your perfect will. So may my life be a praise unto you, Lord. May my life be a praise unto you, Lord. Yeah, yes. Take my life as a praise unto you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's my life as a praise unto you, Lord. May my life be a praise unto you, Lord.